Good morning again. Merry Christmas. I want to welcome those who are watching online. A little more. Thank you. All right, there you are. Well, I'm going to make this quick so all the husbands can start their Christmas shopping. Amazon is en route today, I think. There is... You know, Amazon really spoiled our shopping experience, you know, where you would order something on Amazon, and the moment you hit paid or done, it seems like you walk out your front door and it's there, right? It's like, it's right there. So I've been working on my boat a lot, too much, not because I like it, it's because I'm poor, so I can't afford for other people to work on my boat, so I work on my own boat, you know, a lot of YouTube videos and whatnot, and I order parts all the time, and it seems like when I order something on Amazon, it's like right there. Right, that afternoon, it's at my house. But when I order from somewhere else, it takes weeks, 2 weeks. And that's when I get impatient. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And it's really nothing wrong with them. It's just how Amazon has ruined our shopping experience. So today, I'm going to be quick. Not my usual an hour and a half sermon. No, that's not true. Some of you are like, okay, I'm glad we're not coming back to this, right? No, it's usually, you know, 20 minutes long, but today I'm going to be a little bit quicker because the kids are on pines and needles to open their presents, right? That was a pun. You get pines. So Liz was proofreading my sermon last night, and she goes, "Are you on your own on that one? I'm not sure you should do your puns." And I said, "I'm going to go for it. I want to see what happens, right?" But no one ever laughs at my jokes here anyway, so... I'm going to go with it, but Liz did warn me. She says, you're on that one. Yeah, so no one laughs at my joke. So what elf is new, right? All right. All right, enough. That one worked. Awesome. Okay, enough with the puns. I don't know why I even tried, but we're finishing up, we're wrapping up our series on heaven on earth. This was 5 weeks out, and our goal was to finish it on Christmas Eve service, wrapping it all up. But if you've been missing church, that's okay. I'm going to take you just a quick 1 minute around the clock. Oh, that one didn't go well. Okay. All right. No more. Just one quick 1 minute recap here. So when the nation of Israel was exiting Egypt, by the grace of God, by his power, nothing they can do, he called Moses and said, "Let my people go." So as they exit Egypt, they go into the promised land. This is 1 minute recap from the last 5 weeks, so I need you to pay attention here, right? They went into the promised land, the land of Canaan, right? Which is where we get the nation of Israel, where they are today. And God gave them 10 things, right? We call it the 10 commandments. But for God's people, it was called the 10 matters. His intention for them is like, these are the 10 most important matters in your life. If you keep up with these things, you experience life here on earth. Heaven here on earth. So the first four matters has to do with God. And the last six matters has to do with how we treat the people around us. So the first four is worshiping God. Don't create yourself in a graven image. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Remember to take a rest to remember God. But on the last six is how are we supposed to live around all the crazies that live around us? Myself included. Or my elf included. Okay. Myself included, right? So, you know, honor your parents. Okay, kids, honor your parents. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Right? Don't yell at the bad drivers around you from up north. That is the 11th commandment for Floridians. But a setter is all those things. And then the 10 commandments, the 10 most important matters. And then Jesus comes along. And thousands of people were following him. And they went over to the mountainside. And he began to teach. And he began with this thing called the Beatitudes. So he says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Next slide. "Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The phrase, bless are in each of the Beatitudes, implies a current state, here and now, of happiness and well-being. The Beatitude gives us this picture of current pursuit, right? Blessed are you if you do these things, and then a future reward that you will be called children, you'll be a part of, you're embraced as God's people. So essentially, if you follow the Beatitude, we can experience divine joy, this inner peace with God here on earth. And the reward is reuniting with God one day when Jesus returns. So essentially, the Ten Commandments tell us how not to treat God and people. And the Beatitude teaches how we should respond to God's love in Jesus and our response to the world around us. That was a 5 weeks recap. So you missed church in the last 5 Sundays? That's okay. You just got the whole gist of it. Amen? All right, now moving forward. Then in the very end, right, we'll continue the sermon. At the very end, Jesus says, blessed are those who persecuted you because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the who? The prophets who were before you. This is in complete opposite trajectory of what we or how we behave on a daily basis. If someone, I can be honest with you as a pastor, messes with my family, why I oughta, right? I'm not going to turn the other cheek and I'm not going to look away. My emotions will take over and I want to take revenge right away. So this is really hard. This is new for everybody. So what is heaven on earth? What is the secret? How do we finish the year, December, this, now, with this? Speaking of December, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. How do we throw Jesus a birthday? I guess like this. But there are also a ton of birthdays on December 25th as well. My wife being one of them. Let's stand up real quick. She hates it. Well, come up here real quick. Since she hates it so much standing up, let's bring her up on the stage. There you go. This is my beautiful. I'm going to hear about this later. Thank you. Her birthday's on the 25th, December 25th. So every year we forget her birthday. We just celebrate the birth of Jesus. And then we sneak her in there somewhere. But also, Crystal has a birthday as well. Same birthday as my wife as well. Crystal in the front. Yeah, a couple of you. Linda? Linda, you here? There's Linda. Yeah, Christmas birthday. And Mike McGovern watching it online as well. So a ton of Christmas birthday. Mine, it's on New Year's Eve. So everyone shoots fireworks for my birthday, which I appreciate that. I'm like, every year my birthday, I walk outside. I'm like, wow, people are celebrating my birthday with all the fireworks. So that's how I look at it anyway. So back to the sermon. How do we live here on earth, right? Heaven on earth is remaining faithful to Jesus, in Jesus. As the world around us is crumbling down, people are losing it, people are angry, people are looking for ways to get ahead of you, people are stomping over you, people are looking at you like you are second-class citizens, and Jesus says, hey, remain faithful in me. But he explained it this way. This is brilliant by Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, turn there. If you don't have one, there's one on every row. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I do love that sound when people do this on Sunday morning, right? He says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The setting of this event, it's outside. Thousands of people were gathering around Jesus as he taught. And he taught about heavenly things. And he probably stared in the eyes of the Jewish leaders, those who have it and those don't have it. He looked at people who are farmers, fishermen. He looked at the thieves. He looked at the single women, men. He looked at everybody, children. He just looks out and he stared them in the eyes. Roman officials and beggars and homeless people, the marginalized, the sinner. He looked at everybody. The thousands of people were watching him. And he points to their barns and their roads and their homes. Some are small, some are big, their land. Some are acreage and some are just small little thing enough for the hut. Some owned a lot and some didn't have a whole lot. He explained that there is no peace on earth because everyone's heart, it's after these things. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. The reason that you don't have peace on earth here and now, it's because you look into these things and you're willing to do anything to get it. And we're no different. We cheat, we steal, we manipulate, we neglect our loved ones, we ruin friendships for faults. Peace. We go to war, we overspend, we acquire more stuff because we think that's what's going to give me peace. And he said, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy. And vermin are these little pestilence that goes into your life, right? Sometimes in life you think things are going well and there's these little pestilence, little gnats, little things that you unexpect to destroy your life, but they do. And he says, why you store up for yourselves these things where they're going to get destroyed and where thieves do not break in and steal? For where your heart is or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I Google, what is the most celebrated religious holiday? And guess what it is? Christmas and Easter. I Googled the two most celebrated religious holiday. It's Christmas and Easter. But if you Google what's the most celebrated holiday, it's Valentine. Figures, right? Valentine. But religious holidays, Christmas and Easter. What's fascinating about Christianity and God's word is this thing, it continues to be the best-selling book in the world. Amen? It's because it's God's word. He wants you to have it. He wants the world to have it. He wants people to know who he is. It survived the test of time. Jesus has been the most debated person, the most debated event, most rejected, and also most worshiped around the world. Probably most criticized. Perhaps Jesus' words remain true for us today. 2,000 years later, he says, blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. But says, because great is your reward in heaven, and for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. And he went on to explain, he says, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I was writing this at like 5 o'clock in the morning because that's when I have complete peace and no distractions. The family's still sleeping. The mouse is crickling in my attic. No, we don't have any, but no, just kidding. It's nice and quiet, and it dawns on me. I said, oh my gosh, all these years I've been a Christian and a pastor, and I preached this 10 times over, where I'm encouraging you, like, don't buy stuff, don't put your heart to things in this world. A lot of times we teach these verses, and we're telling people not to go after the things of the world, which is true, but it dawns on me that Jesus is the treasure. Maybe I'm the only person that just discovered that just this week. And I'm admitting to you, as a pastor, I don't know everything. But so when I know this, man, the light bulb, I was like, oh my gosh. Jesus is the treasure. He says, where your heart is, or where the treasure is, there's your heart going to be also. But if we have Jesus in us and we pursue it, that's our treasure. And he said, that's you who are blessed, for the reward is in heaven. Jesus is the treasure. So over 2,000 years ago, God gave us a gift in Jesus, born in Bethlehem, to give us an opportunity to tune our hearts to him and find our way back to God. The best gift of all. The treasure that we all have been searching for. The perfect gift. Nothing in this world can give us eternal peace. Only Jesus can. There's this event that happened as Mary was giving birth in the manger. And I envisioned the inn. What surprises me is that, you know, there are all these people in this inn, and they see this young girl, probably 13 years old, pregnant, about to give birth, and they wouldn't give up their seat or their bed? That's hard for me to fathom. So there's this event that happened as Mary was giving birth to Jesus. There were shepherds living out on the fields, and it's in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and what? Luke and John. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8, the story went a little something like this. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, helping watch over their flocks at night, which is very normal, because if you don't watch your flocks at night, thieves will come and wolves will come and steal them away, or terrorize them, or eat them. So this is a very normal thing. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Which every encounter in the scripture, when you encounter the angels, it's never like, oh, this is so cool, you know, like what a neat experience. No, every time an angel shows up in your life, it's scary. Because there's nothing you ever experienced before, and you realize how unworthy you are to be visited by an angel. So when you experience something, you're like, oh, that's so cool. That ain't an angel, okay? That's just something you just made up. But when an angel appears in your life, it's somewhat scary, all right? So these guys were scared. So they're like, oh, terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. Then the angel had left, and the shepherds hurried themselves, and they went. They went to see. Because God of the highest heavens means he's on the edge of the universe. He sits on the highest place. Something we can't even imagine or even fathom. But yet he cares. Yet he touches our hearts. Yes, he comforts us in times of trouble. He's not distant from us. He welcomes. He embraces. He forgives. He gives us peace in the form and in the person of Jesus. I love the response from the shepherds to this kind of peace, this kind of treasure they just found. And it says right there, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened with the Lord, which the Lord has told us about. They responded with haste. No time to waste. They left their flocks. That's their livelihood. That's their possession. That's what they always known. But the moment Jesus come into their life, they said, let's leave it, because that's where our heart has been. We have found something that's even more valuable. Let's go see it. And that is the meaning of Christmas. Amen. As the band come forward. And that's why we sing. And that's why Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But he's also the light of our hearts. As Jesus taught these things, and then he kneeled before the Father, and he began to pray, a prayer that we heard all the time. You hear it in movies, you hear it at sporting events, you hear it in the locker rooms if you're a sports person. And he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. What does it mean for us? What does it mean that Christmas and he is the light of the world and that he's here? Well, the prayer, in summary, it's tuning our hearts towards back to God. That's the Lord's Prayer interpretation to us. God is our Father. He's above creation and he's holy. His desire for us is to live holy lives, that he is our provider. He's still our provider. He's still our protectors, and he still forgives us when we mess up. So on that solemn night, it came upon a midnight clear. I want to ask you to stand. Let me have the elders to come forward. Upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch the harp of gold. As our elders begin to light your light, that he is the light of the world, but he also is the light of your heart. And that's the treasure. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. From heaven's all-gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay, to hear the angels sing. May this time of the year be a time of remembrance. As the poets would say, it's not about the chestnuts roasting. You guys come in, come up. But may the light of the world shine your hearts. May the light of the world be around you. May the light of the world go before you, behind you, beside you. May the light of the world give you peace and find rest. Amen. Please remain standing.
Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas, everyone. You know, Christmas is more than chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. It's more than jingle bells, jingle bells. Christmas, it's more than a mistletoe kissing under, you know, under the mistletoe. And Christmas, it is the most wonderful time of the year. And not because of holiday cheer, as Santa Claus is drawing near with the crimson glow of the red-nosed reindeer. It's more than that, don't you agree? As we gather around the Christmas tree, it goes beyond the act of carols we sing, and it's deeper than just the nativity scene. You see, it's a declaration that the Messiah is here, and he has arrived. It goes beyond the act of the carols. It's because it's about the one we have always waited for, who victoriously ripped the veil and knocked down death's door. Our Messiah, who came as an innocent baby with no crib to lay his head on, as he was laid in a manger, nestled in a bed of hay. Wow, how humble. Our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Feliz Navidad.
There were no parades to announce his birth, no royal robes to show his worth. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, came and little celebration was heard, except for his teenage mother and her soon-to-be husband, as they looked into his eyes and whispered that they loved him, our Messiah. There was no pomp or circumstance, no obnoxious birth demands, just the fulfillment of dozens of prophecies told by God's command, written by human hands and consummated by one man, our Messiah. The God-man, fully human, yet fully divine, the only solution to our brokenness inside was Jesus Christ, who left his position seated at the hand of the Father to become our deliverer, redeemer, comforter, and healer. The heir of all things, the image of God, he was and he is the Almighty One. Our Messiah has arrived. This is the true sign of Christmas time. It is what that star that sits on top of your tree is supposed to symbolize. A beacon of hope for mankind, a redeemer of God's ultimate design, the perfect gift that he supplied. His perfect son, who'd one day die, so we could raise our heads with prize, and in unison, we lift our cries.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him rule, and heaven and nature sing. So let's receive this gift of a king, and not just speak on heavenly things as we fixate on the gifts under the tree, but fixate on the gifts that bled and died on the tree, that bled and died for you and me. Let us receive. Let's faithfully believe in the arrival of our King and what that arrival really means. The assurance that it brings, the brilliance that it screams. the fulfillment of the law, the instillment of all of God's promises, culminating in this one man, our Messiah. That on that night long ago, God sent us the greatest gift that has ever been given, His Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have all been forgiven, who is still with us today and will remain forevermore. Let us receive. Let us receive today this perfect King.
Amen. Amen. All the kids, go ahead and blow out your candles, if you don't mind. All the kids, won't you come forward, turn on the lights a little bit, get your cell phones, cameras out. Joe Sharp, can you help pass these things out for me? Sean, there's a bunch of little ones for the little kids, if you can. All the little kids, come up. Get your cameras out. Here we go. Joe and Sean, yeah, just pull that table forward. There's some right there. All the little kids, line up over here. You guys line up. We have plenty. Just grab them. Plenty. Come on up. Plenty. Go. Yeah. They can be on the steps. Yeah, get on the steps, guys. Get on the steps.
Can I stand right here?
Yeah, you're going to. There's one. Here, grab these here, guys. Grab these here.
Right on my finger.
Nice. This is going to be epic. Wait. You're not going to do yours? Oh, you're going to film it? You're going to film it? All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Lewis? Let's set these aside for... Oh, Bryce, man, I've been saving this for you.
Don't point them in your neighbor's face.
All right, all the kids, here we go.
Hold on.
Who doesn't have one?
These ones got a little pop on.
You have two? Can anyone catch this? We got a couple extra here. Got one extra box.
These ones are for the adults.
Did you? It doesn't have one. All right, here we go, guys. We're going to sing. We're going to say, on three, we're going to say, Happy Birthday, Jesus, and we're going to do it, okay?
All right,
you ready? Here we go. On three, one, two, three. Happy Birthday, Jesus! Awesome! Lewis, one last song. Here we go. Hit it. All right, go ahead, kids. Here we go. It's still happening. We're going to sing Joy to the World one more time. Ready? Hit it.
All right, guys, watch out.
Kids, come on. We need all the kids to sing. You're going like this.